There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left. Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
You're ignorant.
Everybody watching the documentary is ignorant.
I don't think so, Michael. As a matter of fact, I've been watching Leaving Neverland, and my friend, you are bad.
Hey, but at least I married that child.
Oh, my goodness. This is Side Stories. This is Ben Kissel. That's Henry Zebrowski. Now, I watched episode one of Leaving Neverland. Henry Marcus and I are going to do a full-on discussion on this Friday's Side Stories, the first time we're having Marcus on for the new tradition of once-a-month Side Stories with Mr. Marcus Parks. But, Henry, you can joke about this right now because you haven't watched episode one yet of the most traumatizing documentary I have seen in a minute called Leaving... No. Oh, my goodness.
Simone!
Enough.
That's what I said. That's what I said to the child. We were together.
You are the devil.
We were together the other night.
Now I have...
And I remember, and I said, oh, the word child... You can't have a baby, but oh, if you could, how cute.
Oh my, all right, I've had it up to my belly button, which is most people's eyebrows. So that's pretty, I have enough of it.
Simone.
Oh my goodness, all right.
Honestly,
well,
and I
you
do
are going
feel
to
like
cry.
This shit's come up.
Yeah, you.
I can't wait.
Yeah, when you are watching it tonight and you're going to text me, be like, I want to vomit, be like, yeah, now is it so funny to you, sir? Young sir.
I know.
My
I
God.
Know. It started because that was definitely because Travis was just saying that to Kissel because I haven't seen it yet. It's popped up a lot. And then like Natalie and I had people over for dinner last night and we had like 90s dance hits kind of music playing in the background. And just fucking every other one was Michael Jackson.
Right, right.
And you just like forget because it's just, you're not alone. And I just see him petting a child in a giant fluffy bed.
That's the problem with the song. You were not alone. They don't have the other argument being like, I wish I was. Can you leave me alone? I understand that I am not alone because you are stalking me and scaring the hell out of me. But no, we will talk about that.
No, but as we started talking about it and then Kissel started going into details and Travis is like, don't spoil it for Henry.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God.
It is so disgusting. If you haven't seen Leaving Neverland yet, watch it before this Friday because it's going to be full of, I guess, spoilers as Henry kind of alluded to. It is so difficult. Anyway,
listen, I've just been listening to Beat It on repeat because I know that afterwards I'm never going to get to listen to it ever again.
Seriously.
Which is fine. I get it. But these stories, we've been debating this for literally 8 years on Last Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
About the nature of Michael Jackson's crimes. So I'm not looking forward.
No.
To really diving in. But at the same time, I'm curious.
Yeah, no, it is. It's absolutely fascinating. It's a big part of American history. He's a global version of Jimmy Savile. But we will get to that. And as a matter of fact, Henry mentions how, you're listening to this music, but now this is going to really, like, it's bigger than the music in many ways. And his music was about as big as a musician can get. But they were even talking to one of the victims, and he was saying that sometimes he'll find himself at a bar, a restaurant, and Michael Jackson songs will come on, and he'll start, like, tapping his thumb. This was in an interview, not in the documentary. He'll start tapping his thumb or whatever and be like, this is good. And then he'd be like, oh, that's right, that's Michael. And then he has to leave. But that's the power of the music, man. Anyway, on a good
yeah,
note.
Buddy, this is a real light touch on
I know.
It,
I mean.
We will obviously get into this, geez. But it is fucked
also,
up.
Also, you don't need to use.
I imagine it's fucked
You don't
up.
Have to use the term light touch on it right now. Okay, come on, Henry.
I'm not saying.
My God.
Yeah. Ugh, I think a worse term is internal touch.
All right. Well, I will say on a positive note, I had a chance to watch two great horror movies this weekend in theaters at Nighthawk Cinema here in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Greta and Level 16. Highly recommended. Did you see either of those yet?
No, I've not been able to see it. I've been watching a lot of Top Chef recently. We've just been working and doing that kind of shit. I actually haven't been watching that. It's just like, because by the time we get back to the house, we're just fucking blanking out.
Right.
So we haven't watched any movies or anything for like about a week, which is a long time for
no,
me.
No, that is.
But I'm excited about this because I'm coming into New York City this week. And the best part about being alone in New York City is that I get the chance to go to the movies alone, which is one of my favorite hobbies in the world.
It's so fun.
And I could just sit, because then you could just sit you just sit in your own grime. I like watching it, and then I laugh because I like watching the movies and sitting just like, just laugh alone, the laugh of a man that's truly free.
Yeah, well, you're still in public, and the laws of humanity still apply, even in the movie
theater. Get me.
All right.
Fucking come get me. All right.
I will say, Greta, there are some funny laughs in it as well. Kind of unintended, but it's truly scary. And then level 16, really awesome. So I want to thank Kim at Nighthawk. She works over there, and she's always very nice.
Yeah. I also want to, the guys from, we're not paid by these fucking people. They don't pay these people. But I will say, Spring Hill Jack Coffee, send me some of their coffee again. And I, honestly, it's the best coffee I've ever had. It fucking really gyps me up, man.
Right.
I don't know if that's a good term for
I have no idea what that term means, so I think we're in the clear.
It makes my knees touch my nose hairs. And not in a Michael Jackson kind of way.
Right.
Not waiting for the King of Pop to come into the bedroom.
I cannot hear any more about Michael. I'm still reeling from what happened. Okay.
It kind of gives a new kind of tenor to the nickname King of Pop.
Okay.
Right?
Well, here we go. Here's a fun story about robots. Okay. So now robots, obviously they're taking our jobs. We know that. We know automation. I talked with Andrew Yang on Top Hat about that, by the way. Go listen to that interview. It's very interesting. But now...
But I feel like if we do install one day, I am one of those who believe in the give a living wage to people,
sure.
And that would be replaced by the robots, right? And let the robots do the hard shit.
Let the robots flip the burgers. Absolutely. Robots never go through the awkward 14, 15-year-old stages where they're just covered in their own saliva. Just
so you want extra onion rings or... Like, I'm sick of talking to these people.
I mean,
I love the youth of America, but not when they're touching my food.
Well, you know what? I like to keep an eye on them, and they seem to be doing a good job, specifically at Taco Bell.
Honestly, but I would rather robots not do food service, because I think that food service has already become so impersonal.
I know.
Kissel, I've been watching Chef's Table recently.
Uh-huh.
We forget it's already turned into this industrialized machine.
Right.
They may as well be fucking robots. I like a personal touch. Yeah. So let's leave the robots out of the back house of the restaurant and move it into the maybe a robot waiter.
Well, that's kind of what we have right now going on at giant food stores. We've talked about giant food stores before. There was a story of about a man rubbing, I believe, some kind of melon on his testicles, and then he was charged with a felony.
On his asshole.
His butthole. All right. Robots to roam aisle of Maryland Giant Food Store. Giant Food Stores will deploy Marty, the robot models, to every Maryland location to work alongside employees and customers. Now, if you take a look at Marty, he looks like sort of like if the Microsoft Word... like, what is that?
If the paperclip was given gun turrets,
yes,
and tank wheels, it's disconcerting.
It really is. He's on wheels. You can't really see the wheels. He just kind of floats like a beautiful performer. And he's got these huge googly eyes. He looks like he's perfect to tackle. When I was in football momentarily before I faked an injury every year to get out of it because I don't like to be winded, he looks like one of those tackle like dummies that you just take down with all of your power and all of your might because you're really angry at the principal.
This thing is a 7-foot-tall vacuum cleaner. Right? The part of it was supposed to be the robots, which move around the store unassisted, will identify and report hazards such as spills for quick cleaning.
Oh.
So it's going to be stuff going like, alert, alert, mayonnaise, aisle 7. And you're going to have to deal with this. But I will say... I'm with you, Kissel, right? Because, you know, right, I'm sort of pro. It's not the term pro robots,
right.
But I'm going to say let's give them a shot.
Sure.
Let's give them a shot at running society. But when I look at this robot, they're really asking for abuse because the googly eyes does not make this friendly to me.
No.
The googly eyes makes me want to shoot this with the fucking shotgun.
Just there's like, something inside of me genetically in my, like, fireman caveman brain where I'm like, this doesn't seem right. It's the uncanny valley. I agree with you. I want to shoot it.
I would just rather a straight up, if it literally was just a square bot We don't need to make it look human because you notice it's got the lights at the very bottom of it, which makes it look like it's frowning, which essentially makes it look like you're coming to take my child. Like you're coming to kill my family because it's the frowning of being like, must clean up the ultimate mess, which is humankind. And then it comes through and start like rolling through towns and setting things on fire and imprisoning us and big chain link fence, like kind of like thrown together quick prisons.
Yeah. I mean, it all starts with a friendly robot named Marty. Why are we writing the dystopian future from a sci-fi movie's past? Why are we actively writing this, though?
You know that I personally believe with between what's happening politically, between what's happening with this kind of shit, it is because of shit fuck 30-year-olds. It's us, man. It's our generation that is in charge, and we are proliferating and creating a reality version of the 80s movies that we love.
But did no
one making it happen?
Did no one watch until the end of the 80s movie? It starts off with, like, what a great buddy of mine. And then next thing you know, maybe you should kill your mom. And then next thing you know, maybe you should kill your whole family and your friends. And then what do you have? What do you have? You got a robot serial killer.
But we are doing it. We are making it, we are psychically projecting our future into this.
Well, at the very least, giant grocery stores are. All 172 stores will have a Marty. Ugh. I also hate the name Marty. I don't hate any name, but in this context, I'm like, Marty, the friendly robot. I could do no harm. There's no way I could eat your mother. What was that last thing I said?
But you can definitely see a manager being like, well, unfortunately, we're bringing on Marty onto the team. Everybody applaud Marty. Hey, it's Marty. Let's throw a party. Good little rhyme, everybody. But we're getting rid of Cheryl. Bye, Cheryl. And it's just like a poor 80-year-old woman is like, they always get rid of the crones first. And it's like, yes, it's right. Because unfortunately, we love you, Cheryl. But nobody wants to see you.
Oh, Cheryl, I want to see you. 172 stores going to have their own Marty. Now, Marty, as aforementioned, he's a tall, gray robot with Google eyes. He's going to work alongside staffers. The robot, it moves autonomously, unassisted, will identify any report of hazards such as spills for quick cleanup. Giant officials said in a news release that the robot's efforts free up associates to spend more time serving with customers, which is what I would call a lie. How is this going to help anyone who is working? They'd be like, oh, no, this is great. This frees me up to have more time with customers. Yeah,
customers?
It's not taking my job.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm always doing. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's the slow total takeover of all of their jobs.
Yeah.
I believe that grocery stores and fast food places are going to be the first, the first where the trench warfare between robots and human beings and robots slowly replacing human beings is where it's going to happen.
Right.
Because, which is unfortunate, because those are the intro jobs. Those are the things that actually give people those first couple of sets of experiences that allow them to do other things, which is why I'm saying if we're going to let the robots do it, we should have some sort of living wage. And then, but I'm also speaking as a person who is completely ignorant.
Universal basic income, or what some people call the freedom dividend. It's going to become a more popular idea as this continues on. So this is according to the giant food store president, Nicholas Bertram.
Bringing robotics and AI from a research lab to the sales floor has been a very exciting journey, and we were thrilled by the customer response in our pilot stores. Our associates have worked hard to bring this innovation to life with amazing partners. Cut to, like, whole groups of customers being herded by Marty's. Like,
oh, my God.
Just being scared, being led to the sales.
Oh, my
like
God.
Like, being forced to buy
just the
sales.
In the corner of the sports section, getting whipped by fishing poles, getting netted and things like that. Yeah, Marty, when Marty flips, when Marty chooses to go autonomous and rogue, it's not going to be so pleasant. At the very least, they didn't give him arms yet. That's when we have to start getting real scared, when they start getting the arms. Now that's full-on combat.
Just one vacuum for sucking on assholes and one gun arm.
It's horrible.
That's all it needs to be. You threaten pleasure against your will or death.
And then so the people who work there can have more time with the customers.
I just always, I'm going to go to giant food stores and just fucking sit and chew the faces off of these people. I'm just going to sit and ask them, be like, so how many cereals you got? Yeah. How many chips you got? Where are those at? Yeah. You take me there? Oh, cool. I mean, you got plenty of time now, right? Where's the milk?
Honestly, that is like the last thing if you are like working a customer job yes. in a grocery store. Like, you're just like, I just want to stock the shelves so all of you other cow people can consume this Lucky Charms. And also,
yes, they
like,
literally want to work in silence.
I have never, ever had a situation where they're like super thrilled to help out because it's not a high-end fashion line. It's Walmart or Target. They just want to get in and get out. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I don't care to talk to a 13-year-old kid. I just want to be like, hang in there, buddy. But then that's the end.
I guess that makes you different than a lot of the more successful musicians in the world and other people who create a lot of art, which is actually very, it's brave of us to be so mediocre, we like grown women. Isn't that nice?
All right. Well, speaking of robots and grown women, this next story is going to send a chill down everyone's spine.
Well, apparently, hackers can easily hijack this dildo camera and live stream the inside of your vagina or butt, according to Vice Magazine.
This is actually, like, really invasive, intrusive, extremely, like, not good and uncomfortable. It is one of the craziest things I have heard in a long time.
This story is from a bit ago, so I wonder if they fixed this error or not.
Okay.
But I feel like this is not going to be the first time we're going to hear of this type of thing. If you're using an internet-connected vibrator equipped with a camera that allows you to stream your pleasure right to the internet, your intended viewers might not be the only ones watching. Hackers from the UK-based security firm Pentest Partners have found that it's trivially easy to hack into a Svakum Siame this is a $249 dildo that has a camera on its tip. And the thing is that basically if you're in the Wi-Fi range of its dildo, that you could, it's very easy to guess the password because I guess its default password is 888-8888.
All right, so...
And essentially with a little bit more firmware and a little more hacking, you can also you can hack the live stream, but you can also direct its actual motion to,
now,
which people pay.
I have a question here. So obviously the idea, you know, we go on the road, you want to get a little saucy with your significant other. People travel all the time. Technology has made that more available.
I love the idea of the remote view.
Sure,
dildos.
Wonderful.
I think that's a cool idea.
Anyone ever wanted to see the inside of their partner's butthole or vagina, whether it be male or female, obviously the butthole, that's, we both got that. But has anyone ever been like, yeah, let me get inside like I'm a doctor and let's do colonoscopy play? Why would the camera be on the tip of the dildo? Like, what in the world are you possibly seeing to be like, oh, yeah, those are the inner walls right there. This is what I really like.
Natalie always gets a little concerned when I say, hey, let's play Lookout on the ship deck. And I use her like a telescope because I always tell her on my birthday, I'm allowed to look inside of her vagina to see if I can see the light from her mouth.
Well, no, you but first of all, that is not a scientific approach to this.
It's for me.
It is. But there's no reason why.
I mean, aye, matey.
It's such a strange place for the camera to be. And then like also like what are you supposed to do? Just like film around the room? Like if there's a home invasion, just grab your dildo and just like film because that would be kind of trippy.
There are people that are sexually attracted to the idea of being enveloped. There are people like the Vor community, those kind of people that like the idea of like you're going like chugga 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 choo choo and you imagine yourself going through the vagina or you're in some sort of erotic older person version of the magic school bus.
I just feel like when you self-correct, it seems worse because most people didn't even think that your initial thought was going to be bad. But then you overcompensate.
The magic school bus is filled with children.
I see.
And the idea, I feel like, if it's just teachers.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
On that magic school bus, I can see why you want to go up the butthole just because you're fucking interested. It is interesting.
I don't know.
I guess.
Well, this is according to Ken Monroe. He's the founder of Pentest Partners, the only place to get your dildo products from Pentest Partners. When somebody uses it, someone else could be seeing the video stream. He goes, what's worse? You never even know about it, which is truly horrifying. And again, maybe I'm like missing something here. I just feel like the camera should be like a GoPro attached to the end, more of the – I don't want to get into great detail here, but you would think
you
would be on the end of it, not on the front of the head of the sex toy.
People are imagining. Can you imagine how – honestly, though, Kissel, You used to be even more immature than you are these days.
Yeah.
How fun would it be to just imagine your face on the head of your own dick?
No.
Right?
No.
And you're just going, wee! Whoa!
No, I mean, first of all, I would never even imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And as you're approaching, you're just like, it's like going into the Death Star.
Yeah.
And you're Luke Sky penis, Sky cockles, and you're literally just slamming it.
You don't see anything. The whole thing. It's just going to be a black, dark mass of human
Not
flesh.
In the beginning.
It's going to be like what used to be back when, see, I'm almost 40 years old. I'm 37 years Whoa. Young. And when I was a child, there was a channel called the Surgery Channel. And
oh yeah, I remember the Surgery
Channel. And they would show like full torsos and stuff, but there were surgeries being done to them. It's like that, but then much more invasive and much more intrusive, and I just don't see how anyone could be like, yeah, I mean, unless they're studying to be a doctor, in which case maybe this could help out. I don't know. It just seems very bizarre.
Do all the sciences that are involved in just how deep is a vagina?
I mean,
I don't know, man. Everybody's into whatever it is they're into. Yeah, I agree. I would more of want an exterior camera as well, but this is obviously the goal of these people, and enough of these were sold for this to continue on the market.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still the case, but I think it is interesting. I was on, speaking of people hijacking computers, though, I was with a Uber driver recently who was very, very upset about the idea of automated drivers, because he said, in his words, the computer Russians going to come in, they're going to hack the fucking cars, and they're going to create chaos in the highways. And I was like, that could happen at any time, though. It can't happen now. Like, most Teslas have an actual computer chip that you can't, they have an actual, like, motherboard that you can take over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's already happening. You know, the thing is, we saw Total Recall. It's, we know what happens. They're a little annoying. The robot driver in Total Recall was more aggravating than even a Los Angeles Uber driver who was auditioning for you because they think anyone who takes an Uber is a producer. I think there's some safety in the Uber life for the most part because these robots are just going to drive me insane. So I want a person. I'm going to request Uber person. That's what I'm going to do, not Uber robot. That's what I will do.
Well, I'm going to tell you, for the first couple of years, you're going to have drivers behind the wheel also watching the robot.
Yeah, but then what are they doing? You know, they're not actually working. They're sleeping. They're reading books, probably giving them more time to fully read the script that they were telling you about previously. Now they can just act out all the characters as well.
I actually mostly have seen that in Atlanta more than Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of, like, mixtapes.
Ah.
So this story, I mean, they're working on it, I guess. But a part of it is just more of this – it's more of trying to create a grand, like, self-consciousness and understanding that if you have a Wi-Fi-enabled sex toy – It is vulnerable
right.
to be hacked by many people. It always is.
Yeah.
But this is kind of the social trust that we have, don't we? Is this kind of concept that being like, we're all kind of existing in this place that if we break the social contract of constantly hacking each other's devices, they're going to eventually either clap down on it or people are not going to want to buy it.
You know me. I say criminal justice reform now, criminal justice reform forever. But one of the areas where I'm a little bit more like, we could probably step up our game on trying to dissuade people from all the revenge porn and from like hacking in and stuff and just like loading that stuff up on the internet. Every celebrity, and this targets mostly females, obviously you have like Hulk Hogan and stuff like that, mostly females though. It's like, I don't know if people do play by that social trust because there's no negative ramifications when they're just like, wouldn't you believe it? I got Britney Spears's God knows what. Because
it's hard to fucking track these people down because it takes man hours. It's a lot of money to track, especially internet crime. It is very, very difficult to pin these people down.
It ain't right. I say if your partner gave it to you in confidence, don't be a schmuck and share it with anybody else. That's what I say.
I have just never understood that kind of piece of shit behavior. I don't really understand that idea that you would take someone that someone gave to you in actual good faith, even if they hurt you.
No, and then like, post it online.
It's so fucked up. I really do believe in you're going to get yours.
Well, I mean, you know.
I do believe that.
People do it. Men and women do it. And it's just everyone.
Yours.
it's just not good, and it's bad for you, and it's bad for your heart, and it's bad for your soul. And when you get to the pearly gates and God says to you, what did you do when you got sent all of those wonderful videos and pictures? And God will say, I know that you sent it to your friends. And then your friends put it online, and you...
And then you wake up, and you've been reading a storybook.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, and then you fucking blow your brains
Whoa.
Out. It's fucking total darkness. Total darkness.
Right, well.
Live from your grave.
Let me do this story real quick. Widower, stepdaughter who blamed panhandler for woman stabbing death in Baltimore, arrested in her killing.
Ooh,
what a surprise.
Crazy.
The story of a woman who was fatally stabbed in December after reportedly giving money to a panhandler, a case that drew national attention and spread fear through Baltimore, was actually a ruse by her husband and stepdaughter, who have been charged in her death,
wow.
Police announced Sunday night. Keith Smith, 52, and his daughter, Valeria Smith.
I don't want to criticize. I'm sure there's some great Valerias out there, but you got a malaria. You got Valeria.
Actually, Valeria.
I don't know.
Valeria is a very pretty name for me, actually.
It's
like
a pretty name.
You were arrested by Texas State Police near the U.S.-Mexico border while trying to flee the country early Sunday. This is this week.
Hmm.
Warrants charging them with first-degree murder in the death of Keith Smith's wife, Jacqueline Smith, were issued.
Hmm.
Basically, we're gonna, the information and evidence points that it wasn't a panhandler. So they're trying to figure out what the hell with this whole shit is. Basically,
huh.
Just Jacqueline Smith, 54, an electrical engineer at Aberdeen Proving Ground. She was stabbed to death about 12:30 a.m. on December 1st in North Valley and East Chase Streets. And this is Baltimore.
Hmm.
Just days after the stabbing, Keith Smith and Valeria Smith, who also identified herself as Siobhan, appeared at a tearful news conference at the scene. They blamed Jacqueline Smith's death on a man who approached their car after she reached out the window to give money to a woman begging in the rain with the baby. They said the man came up to the car under the guise of thanking Jacqueline Smith, then reached in the car and snatched her necklace and pocketbook, stabbing her in the process, which is a lot of yada yada.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. An elaborate story. Now, I have a question for you. Now, Henry, you are a really talented actor. You can see Henry on Crashing on Home Box Office, otherwise known as HBO.
And a lot of Pete Holmes' body this year.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's just great.
Yum.
HBO, can do anything they want on HBO.
I love my boss. Love my boss.
Yeah.
Love bringing back the Dennis Franz look.
NYPD Blue. Oh, the 50-year-old butts the eye can handle. And I have a question, though, from a performance perspective, because we see this on a regular basis. This dad and his daughter, they knew they killed him. They knew they killed his wife and her mom. They knew what happened. Now, they are not professionally trained actors. You got to go in front of the cameras. You got a lot of pressure on you, and you have to cry on command. What process do you think you would go through to be like, I can do this?
You just think about the fact, if I don't do this, I'm going to jail.
You think that's enough pressure?
And you use that. I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It is quite a bit of pressure. And you've maybe been building this up, and maybe you did not enjoy this person to begin with, which is why you have now orchestrated her killing. And so I imagine it like you can work yourself up various different ways. There also, you have the cloak of, I'm grieving, I don't know how I reacted. You have that
right.
Side of it where the grief comes out in many different ways. But yeah, I also feel like a lot of times beginners, like the people with no acting training, end up giving very honest performances, even more than people with like my level of training.
Right.
My astute level of just like the kind of acting intensive I went through to Florida State.
Right. Now that's a bachelor degree, isn't it? That's good. Now you can do a couple of more, you could do a deeper dive, I guess, but then you just got to bachelor's. And it's great.
Hey, man, I don't need to get all up, like, into it.
No.
Like, I'm not some kind of nerd.
No.
You know what I mean?
But evidently, now this...
I could have used some more training.
No, you're doing great. Jacqueline Smith's family, obviously that's the woman that was murdered, they didn't believe this story for one second. According to, I believe it's her brother, he says, I already know it's Keith. And all the questions have been specific to Keith. That kind of sums it up right there. He said, it never made any sense. I told detectives from the very beginning, there's no suspects out there. So they seem to know it was Keith all along.
So right now, they have not released really what I've seen so far. There is not really any specifics explaining how we know. We just know that it's in the middle of, they must be in the middle of the investigation. So right. We don't really know how it is. They're saying that immediately, though, everyone said it was fishy because they said that on that block where they were at, normally people are very, it's like an empty section.
Okay.
And so they were like, that was immediately, so there was fishy, but there's details that are obviously that need to come out. This is a brand new story.
Brand new story, but evidently it was also covered, this case did get national attention.
I remember this case because that was the whole thing. It was like this whole big movement of, they said in Baltimore, homeless people were actually interviewed and they said that there was a massive drop in people willing to give money.
Right.
It was really intense. Oprah took it on, yep, basically saying like this shouldn't hurt the attempt to do more reach out for homeless people, honestly these people just sort of used the reputation of Baltimore
right
to their advantage,
yeah,
which is very sick because every time we've gone to Baltimore we've had a wonderful time.
Oh,
but it's
a time.
For that city's for real.
Oh,
that's for fucking
well
certain.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it was interesting not to do anything political. We do that on another show. But Elijah Cummings, when Cohen was there testifying, Elijah Cummings, he's a rep out of Baltimore, and he was talking about how, like, everyone called Cohen a rat. He's like, and in Baltimore, you know what happens to rats. When they're in prison, they're called snitches, and we know what happens to snitches. And I'm like, damn, Elijah. Like, they are.
Wow.
Like, and he's like, you know, everyone knows. Baltimore, Philly is the same way. I respect him, man. I don't mess around. I'm not trying to, like, get into any scrum or anything like that. No way.
It's intensity. But it's also, I mean, it is reminiscent of the Jussie Smollett story.
Yeah.
We're not also going to get into that because of the whole thing, but it is kind of reminiscent of that, of using a big lie.
Right. And that
using this thing, because to lie about it, to create this story, you're thinking you're adding credibility to your lie,
right,
by adding all these details, but actually you're not.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually hanging yourself more and more every single time you let this story roll out further.
All
further.
I'll say about the Jussie Smollett thing, because it got so, I'll talk about it maybe on Top Hat or something, but, you know, it's just someone who lost sense of reality, you know, and that's what the inception is really.
Actors are not to be trusted. This is about actors. This is not about politics. This is about actors. We are a messed up group of people that are just, and I get it, man.
Well,
you go crazy sometimes. Well, you just go crazy.
You know, blurring the lines of reality and fiction, as we're seeing now more and more and more, like, people are like, just because it's on TV, it's not like, I think that's what happened with, you know, Roger Stone and a whole bunch of people. It's like they lose sight
of
reality.
They love it. And, you get the dose. You get the dose of all that attention.
Yeah, it gets
it's
you a little
really different. Because then what happens is that if you're that certain type of actor, you've been thinking like you're better and faster and smarter than people all the time, right? Because you're like, I'm a shapeshifter. I put on a hat. I'm a taxi driver. I put on another hat. I'm a pirate. Like, you begin to go insane. And then
right.
You get, like, everybody saying they love you. And then that validates it. And now you're fucking, you're done.
Well, and in a much more disgusting way than what happened with Mr. Smollett there. Mistakes are made on all sides. So I'm a forgiving person. But that's what happened with MJ as well. But we will talk about that again.
No,
Friday.
You're gonna say, I mean, that's very
disgusting. Well, we'll talk about that. So he was surrounded by big bodyguards.
It.
I'm like, at some point, he's just like, grab the kid, get the kid out of there. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Mr. Jackson's gonna get mad if I touch his bride.
Oh my god. All right. I don't.
That's
this is gonna be a problematic episode. I can already tell. Okay. Well, let's go to Idaho, and of course, we go to Idaho. Why wouldn't we go to Idaho? It's so super exciting. So an Idaho teacher who fed a puppy to a snapping turtle found not guilty of animal cruelty. This dude is horrifying looking, number one. He's a science teacher who ignited worldwide controversy after feeding a puppy to a snapping turtle. A panel of six jurors delivered the verdict to a packed courtroom after
deliberating. What science does this teach?
Exactly. That's my question. After the jury only deliberated for about 30 minutes. It was a two-day trial. Robert Crossland, the Preston Junior High School teacher, smiled as the verdict was read and afterwards spoke publicly for the first time. He said, I would just like to thank you for all the support I've received. I'd like to thank this community for staying behind me. It's really got me through all of this. You fed a puppy to a snapping turtle, and then people are just
really
like,
understand.
I just support him. I just think what he did. It's science.
It's somebody's got to stand up for the First Amendment.
You know what?
Somebody's got to stand up for it. And this, if anybody's going to go, because if we don't allow this man to feed a puppy to a snapping turtle for no fucking reason, literally no reason, then when this is a slippery slope to dictatorship.
I guess so. So the puppy was sick, and he fed the puppy to a turtle cutely named Jaws. Now, a couple of students, this was after school, so he's like, who wants to stick around and watch me feed this sick puppy to the turtle? And the sad thing is, no, actually, I didn't even like to dissect the frogs. I would not have watched this when I was a kid. I would watch Japanese death matches, but I would be like, nah, I'm going to go. I got to go, you know, smoke some weed behind a tree or something. So following an investigation, which is just so funny that this is like an Idaho investigation. Like, the phone's been ringing off the hook, Sheriff. What's going on? Well, wouldn't you believe it? Another puppy was fed to a snapping turtle. It's an epidemic. So he was charged with misdemeanor animal cruelty. Shane Reichart, one of Crossland's defense attorneys, admitted that some people might take issue with a snapping turtle eating a puppy, but Reichart argued that in the eyes of the law, there is no difference between a dog and a rat, or even deer people hunt.
So we have to really get to these fucking specifics for this doctor, to this teacher. He's a teacher.
Yes.
What is he teaching the kids with it?
I have no freaking idea. So this is according to the lawyer.
Is that the lesson? Is being like, you know, legally you could feed anything you want to a snapping turtle.
I guess, honestly, that is the takeaway. So the lawyer says, as we set out from the beginning, we thought the state was going to have a difficult time proving this case beyond a reasonable doubt. And so prosecutors, they presented their evidence. So anyway, long story short, he received this puppy. This teacher received this puppy from a dude who had a farm. They had a whole litter of animals, and they're like, oh, we can't take care of all these dogs, whatever. So the witness testified Friday that they did not have a problem with it. Crossland let the students handle the puppy. Most of the witnesses said they noticed it was sickly, lethargic with its ribs sticking out. A couple noted the puppy's eyes were cloudy. After a few moments, Crossland placed the puppy in the snake's enclosure, but it became clear the reptile wasn't interested. So that's when the snapping turtle came into play. And
what is this? What is this even doing?
I have no idea.
What is the point of all of this?
I have no idea. And so this is according to the Idaho deputy attorney David Morse. He argued that the puppy suffered as a result of the feeding. Do you think?
Yes.
He says it was flailing around and tossing.
Jesus fucking Christ.
But every witness that they called in said that they were like fine. I don't know what children of the corn kids are going to this middle school, but they're all like, we actually kind of loved it. I thought it was pretty fun. It's like, what is wrong with you? He's a beloved teacher, and this is how this whole story ends, and this is what the worst part about the whole thing is, other than the puppy being eaten. Crossland, that's the dude again, he says he continues to teach at Preston School District and feels, quote, a lot of relief. The turtle, of course, cute Jaws, the turtle, which is deemed an invasive species in Ohio, was seized and euthanized. They killed the turtle.
That's fucking ridiculous.
They killed the turtle. Was just like, I don't know. Did nothing wrong. Its name is Jaws. It's a turtle. You feed it a sick dog. How does the turtle get euthanized? And I mean, I don't think this guy needs to like lose a license or anything. I don't freaking know.
I don't know what he should do. I feel like he needs like the superintendent. Needs to speak to him about why are you just feeding random fucking objects to a snapping turtle.
I mean, you're not the cousin from Home Alone who has the tarantula. You know, you're not Buzz.
Understand.
It's like, what's happening? Anyway.
I don't understand.
So that is, that's a little tale out of Idaho. Don't feed dogs to other animals. Just let them die. Beautiful dog deaths. They've given us so much.
They really have.
So most of the weeks, I think almost every week so far, we've been doing...
We are real loose with the segments.
Yeah, we're very loose. It's a loosey-goosey show, as you know. But a fan for Hero of the Week, a listener... What was his name, Henry?
Woody.
Woody.
I think he goes by a specific... The Judas Obscure.
Okay.
This guy, he does the... he heard me... I mean, lay down pretty serious musical chops. where I really went through, I scanned it, I made a song for the Hero of the Week, but Judas Obscure went ahead and made it a reality.
Yes, he did. So thank you so much. Let's play this coming in now, a fan-submitted intro for Hero of the Week. Thank you so much, Woody.
It's the Hero of the Week.
Oh, Welcome back to the Morning Zoo, everyone. I'm Ben, the hairy...
Ow, ow, ow.
I love it, man. Thank you so much, Woody. All right. So hero of the week, we have one is a listener, so we're going to get to her in a second, but we've got to go back and talk about Dave Osman, spelled A-S-S-M-A-N.
Osman.
Osman. Of course, he was the fellow that he wanted a personalized license plate in Saskatchewan, and they said, oh, no. It's way too offensive to have it on your plate. So what did he do, Henry?
He fucking painted it on his truck.
He painted it on the back of his truck as he proudly stands by really a beautiful white pickup truck. And it says, Saskatchewan, Osman, land of living skies. So congratulations. You're sticking it to the man, Dave. And when it comes to your rights to be proud of your last name, my friend, my hat's off to you. Because you are telling the world, you're telling the government, no, my friend, I'm not going to be ashamed because my last name happens to come with a connotation of being sexually attracted to buttocks. I am Osman, king of Os.
This is a very, I got another letter that was like talking about another Osman that was a former, I guess like a white supremacist who killed a bunch of people.
What?
This is a whole other story that
So Dave is taking the name back from a white supremacist. He's taking the name back from the government criticizing him. I love this. Dave is a hero on so many levels. So you are once again hero of the week. And along with Dave, I want to talk about a listener, Amanda Dix. Amanda Dix, she sent us an email. Dix stands for Osman or Osman. Dix stands for Osman. So she says, I too got shafted at birth with a horrible last name. It's Dix. Yes, that's real, and yes, everyone can suck it. I've struggled all my life with my last name being included in things. Everything from substitute teachers thinking it was a joke, sports announcers chuckling before my name, and professional emails. Recently at work, they had to specifically unblock my email so it wouldn't be flagged automatically as inappropriate content. A horrible last name can really shape a person, and getting dicked over like this has made me who I am. Now I wear the name like a badge of honor, and I think a Osman should be allowed to do the same. Currently going through the application process to pursue a PhD. If I make it, you bet your sweet asses I'm making every fucking person address me as Dr. Dix. I hope you got a chuckle out of this. Thank you so much, Amanda. The future, Dr. A. Dix. Amanda Dix.
Dr. A. Dix.
I love
we
you.
Actually, and now let's go out with the jingle because Dr. Dix,
yep.
You are our new.
Uh-oh.
This is fun, man. It's fun producing a show.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Fun if you can just do this. Well, I want to read this letter real quick.
All right.
How Henry helped me with my parents' dog's butthole. My girlfriend and I, this is from Colton. My girlfriend and I went to visit my parents in L.A. Trip was going well, seeing old friends and spending a lot of time with family. Well, we just gotten ready for a pretty packed day, and my girlfriend was sitting at the edge of the guest bed when my parents' white Maltese mix named Wrigley comes sprinting in the room and jumps up on my girlfriend. She's giving him all the pets and loving on him. She looks down at her jeans and just goes, ah, fuck, man, for real? Wrigley had gotten some big doggo-sized shit smears all over the legs of her jeans. Shuddering at the thought of Wrigley giving the house a fresh coat of poo paint, I snatched him up and was immediately reminded of something Henry had said way back about his asshole hair. Per Henry's instructions, I lifted Wrigley's tail and began to trim his asshole hair danger close. I recalled how Henry had described his own asshole hair when it had become overgrown, thick, matted, and a potential health hazard. Anyway, I got the little guy trimmed up and washed. We missed out on our plans for the day, but thanks to Henry, I was able to take care of a dog's asshole.
Look at that.
So thanks.
Wow. And they say it's like, what is Henry doing for the greater good? And then look
what
at
purpose.
That. There it is. Although I don't know why it ruined their entire day.
It's
a Maltese,
know.
You know, you can, it doesn't require the biggest scissors, but all right.
I don't know. Also, a lot of people asking about Momo. I also barely understand what Momo is. It seems to be some form of meme, some sort of horror meme.
Yes.
Now, wait, before we go, I want to read some more of these. We have some more fun Skinwalker stories.
Okay,
we're
cool.
I'm still fucking obsessed with this.
Oh my God.
I have a really good, I got some weird insider information that I'm waiting to figure out how to disseminate.
Okay.
Which is very, very interesting. But here's some more Skinwalker tales. I really like this one.
Okay.
This is from AJ. I live in Socorro, New Mexico, which is about 30 miles from the Alamo Indian Reservation, the Rez, as the natives call it. I have an uncle who was dating a native girl who lived on the Rez. My uncle was driving one day to try to visit her and try to get it in, I assume. He's just driving his car, probably humming along to the radio. It was the early 90s.
A lot of speculation. Of a sudden, I will say he is speculating quite a
bit. He really is.
Okay.
He is really building a tale here. But George Knapp did the same.
I know.
When all of a sudden a coyote walks into the road. He does his best to avoid it, but he can't. He ends up clipping it. He pulls over and he checks on the condition of his car, no damage. He then sees the coyote lying motionless on the road and decides to drag it off the road.
Mm.
My uncle gets back into his car and continues on his way. He gets to this girl's house who lives with her family, and they're just kicking back watching TV. A couple hours pass, and he tells the family how he had hit a coyote. The girl's brother comes stumbling in, and she rushes to help him. The brother's in bad shape, dried blood spots on his face, a broken arm, and he's limping. The brother says he was walking down the side of the road when this car, not paying attention, hit him.
Ooh.
He said someone must have thought he was dead because then that somebody drug him off the road and left him in the weeds. My uncle said the family looked at him with this look of concern and worry but never said anything. It seemed that everybody there knew what happened, but every time he would try to bring it up, nobody would acknowledge it.
Whoa!
It's a cool story. And he has one more right here. The same uncle of mine eventually married and had a daughter with the Navajo girl. The Rez is mostly Navajo. My uncle never really lived on the Rez as he is not native. My family is Hispanic. There's not a lot of work on the Rez, and he's not native, as I already mentioned, so he comes and goes. My cousin lives with her mom and her family on the Rez. One day, my uncle's away working, and the family decides to take a road trip to visit some other family. With them lives this little, very old lady who's wheelchair bound. I forget the relationship to my cousin. I'm going to say great grandmother for easier storytelling. Everybody is packing luggage into the vehicle. They even pack the great grandma's clothes, so my cousin assumes she's coming with them. My cousin's around 5 years old at the time. They bring the great grandma outside and move her from her wheelchair into a normal basic bitch chair. This is the email.
Okay.
Not me. They take the wheelchair and they put it in the vehicle too, and they lock the house door and everybody gets into the vehicle except the great grandmother, which is starting. This is starting to remind me of National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah, it really is. I think they're going to strap her to the roof at some point here soon.
They start to drive away, and my cousin starts to freak out. She's crying. She asks, why are they just leaving great-grandma there? And they just tell her, don't worry, she's coming with us. She's going to meet us. Hours later, they arrive at their destination. My cousin, excited to play with her other cousins, runs inside to say hello, and guess who she sees sitting on the couch? It's a great-grandmother.
Oh.
Her mother later told her that the great-grandmother turned herself into a bird and flew there, which I think is just lying. I think that might just be lying.
I think maybe another relative picked up great-grandma and drove her perhaps a different way, maybe a little faster. But
interesting. But he did say most Navajo people keep dogs tied up outside because dogs can sense skinwalkers and they'll bark.
Well, that's a hell of a lot nicer than feeding them to snapping turtles. That's for damn sure. And you never know. Maybe she did just turn into a bird and fly. I actually like, you know, I don't like it when parents treat their children like they're dumb. But I do like spreading just really bizarre mythos when the kid is like five.
They get to spread it to other kids.
Yeah, and they're like, no, yeah, grandma flew. And then they're just like forever. They're like, I always thought my grandma flew. You just a couple of fun stories so they can always be, you know, just wondering what the hell is real and what the hell is fake.
Some people say it's lying. I say it gives your kids a sense of magic realism.
In some ways, that's true.
So I have one more story I can cover real quick.
All right.
World's top bridge player suspended for doping with synthetic testosterone.
Ooh.
Which is fucking awesome. I don't know if you can even do this. The World Bridge Federation announced today that Geir Helgema, the world's top-ranked bridge player, has been suspended. suspended after testing positive for two banned substances, synthetic testosterone and clomiphene, a female fraternity drug, clomiphene.
Yeah, a female doping. Fertility drug. It's not pledge in a frat.
And that's what it says here. People are like, don't know why that is fucking whatever. That is performance-enhancing drugs. But it says here, apparently, a study found that winners of chess tournaments show higher T levels than do losers.
Look at that.
So maybe it does help you think faster or does like a thing where you're in the moment. I'm not even sure how to play bridge.
No idea whatsoever. Helgelmo's suspension is not the first time this has happened to the dude.
Yeah,
back in 2000.
He got busted for tax evasion in 2017.
back in 2015 as well, The Independent reported that the World Anti-Doping Agency found prohibited substances in the system of the bridge player and anglers, but primarily concentration aids, as bridge tournaments can be marathon events. Some stretch as long as 2 or 3 weeks. Which I did not realize.
Well, chess is like that. Chess takes those championship games, they take like hours and days to play out. Like, you have to do really? One at a time, and it's very, very intense.
Well, I guess, yeah, having a little bit of, Adderall, having a little Adderall in your system would probably be extremely beneficial.
Absolutely, which is why they try to ban it. I think it's a very interesting, it's a type of... Well, I bet you that somewhere within like these types of worlds, like, we're making fun of this shit, but it's like, you know, high lie,
of course.
Thing with the scooping, that scooping sport. There's a lot of weird, like, money laundering and international intrigue into high lie, and so I can fucking maybe even imagine that there is weird shit like buried in the World Bridge Federation.
Dude.
Where it's like, this guy's the top player and he's a fucking criminal.
Absolutely.
And so it's and like, maybe that's what it takes to get to the top.
Maybe it is. His suspension will be lifted in November of this year, 2019. So I really did not know that this was a possibility. You know, you're right, man. We forget, like, curling, everyone, when you watch that at the Olympics, everyone's like, oh, this is kind of cute. But you have to remember, those people beat out hundreds, if not thousands, of other people who are in curling to become on the Olympic, to get on the Olympic team. Like, there's I guarantee you people have gotten to fist fights, lost bets, won bets, changed their lives.
Millions
over
of dollars.
Millions.
There are millions of dollars invested in curling. So this is at a point where you kind of imagine that there's high stakes even in those worlds. And then maybe some of these people, yeah, are getting fucking like,
who knows?
Like, oh, I saw what you did there. So you scuffed up my favorite. Is it a hurler? I don't know what the puck is.
Yeah, I think it's a
curling.
Well,
is
sure.
It the gurkle?
The gurkle,
messing
yeah.
With my you're messing with my gurkle. I saw what you're doing. And that's why I killed your fucking daughter. Like, what? Like, got his fucking family all tied up and stuff. You're like, you mess with my gurkles one more time, I'll kill your grandparents. And they're like, curling? I bet you get fucking cutthroat.
That's a bit extreme. I would just be like, buddy, you killed my daughter, huh? Like, you don't think that's a little bit, like, too much for me? I just banged your
my gurkle is like my daughter.
Okay, just lastly as well, a little lighthearted story. Opium-addicted parrots terrorize in Indian poppy farmers.
Oh, you love high animals.
I do.
This is a story. You bring this again and again, and it's always like, I get a text at like 3 in the morning, your time, right? And I get it, and I just look, and it's just like, parrot. Drunk parrot shit. And you're just like, ha ha, love this story.
Well, it's
like,
quite funny.
What are you doing right now?
One,
are you like outside a bus station yelling at people?
One poppy flower gives around 20 to 25 grams of opium, but a large group of parrots feed on these plants around 30, 40 times a day, and some even fly away with poppy pods. This affects the produce, and the parrots wait until farmers slit open the opium poppy pods in order to ripen them, at which point they begin their attacks. In 2017, the government's narcotics department issued a warning about the drug-addicted birds after opium theft started occurring in several different regions. So the parrots in India are having a hell of a good time. And you know what, parrots? Take care of yourself. You know, it's a real epidemic. Opioid epidemic is so large, it's even affecting our more talkative birds.
I smoked opium a couple times, and it's just like, it's mostly just makes you very sleepy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not a huge opium fella. I had,
Never. I am not into it now because now I like all the sativas, I like all the upper weed and all that kind of shit. I don't do a lot of the downer weed anymore, except for that Skittles I got, which was absolutely fantastic. That shit's like, but I don't even know. I still think about Murder Mountain and watch that guy fucking smoking a bong load of Skittles and then driving. I have no clue how the fuck he does that.
Dude, I think he has a extremely high tolerance at this point. I would say the tolerance levels are high with that man. Murder Mountain, a great docuseries.
And so I have two updates I want to say for next week. I want to say, I mean, there's two thing corrections real quick and updates. Number one, yes, I now understand that it was the blue whale, not the humpback whale, that is the biggest animal. We asked you, but thank you for your information.
Yeah, very good. We
all just kept saying that we felt that we can't believe somebody set fire to that porta potty, and it didn't really occur to me. Being like, why would someone send a fire to the porta potty? I imagine it would happen from the fucking inside. And then I was like, yeah, I realized afterwards, being like, oh yeah, this must have happened like from the inside
could
out.
Could be.
Right?
Yeah.
But apparently it is true. The we got actually a follow-up from Kellyanne got to send us an email. And they said they live in the neighborhood where that fire happened, and it was a very beloved homeless man in the area named Randy.
Aww.
He unfortunately was so cold that he decided to bring a space heater into the porta potty where he slept in the winter months.
Aww.
It's a fucking heartbreaking
That's
story.
Sad.
It is
well,
a fucking
I'm sorry
terrible
for
story.
Your loss. Randy sounds like a great guy.
And
that's
it sucks
hard.
When you lose someone who's like, especially who's like a fixture of the neighborhood and that kind of shit. Like, that's very, very intense. And
yeah.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sorry for your loss, obviously.
So,
in the world of crime and horrible things, I hope, you know, we're very sensitive people in our own right. So we've grown
sensitive.
I'm very sensitive. I'll cry right now. I'm like, if you watch.
That's different. That's mentally ill.
No. It's like. Otis from, oh my God, the great new WWE tag team, Heavy Machinery. Otis, he is adorable. He kind of looks like you, Henry, but like he's like even bigger. And
I think people have pointed him out to me.
Yeah, he's cute. And the other tag teams hurt his feelings, and then he kicked all their butts because he was crying.
That's really fun, though. Actually,
cute.
All right, so make sure, you know, live every day knowing that you're in a house, not in a porta potty. All right, unless you are. So then you're living in a porta potty. And you know what? If you're living in a porta potty, you can only laugh about it.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say, though, don't grow to love it. Because then you'll never want to expand yourself past it.
What do you need? You got the porta potty, the world.
Need a fucking chip on your shoulder to make it in this fucking
world.
But
then again, you got your porta potty, you go out into the world, and then you go back to your porta potty.
You got to be filled with fucking vigor to pull your. You got to fucking strike at the universe with all of your will.
Oh, man, you sound like. What was the guy that started National Review? What was the name of that guy? Sound like you're reading like Ayn Rand or something.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't think that you should have to.
William
but it
Buckley.
It does help if you can.
Yes, William Buckley. Best of Frenemies, actually, or Best of Enemies, a good documentary about Buckley.
I guess I've heard about it. Yeah,
it's
and
good. I
watched.
Mean, you know, they're also pompous assholes. So it's also like a little bit like I want to jump into the screen and just choke hold both of them to death. But you know.
It's just back when all commentaries, someone going like, yes, bananas, the fallacy, like some bullshit.
No, they pretend to be smart because, it's ridiculous. I hate when people.
He's smarter than me.
It's fine. You're smarter than me.
He's smarter than me.
It actually takes a lot more intelligence to understand complex things and regurgitate them in a way that other people can understand because then you also don't feel like an elitist piece of crap.
Someone's feeling confident because he's got his new Knicks jacket on.
Oh, yeah, nothing like the Knicks to make me feel confident. I think they've won 8 games. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We love you very much. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations. And we'll be back with Marcus in a few days.
A few days, darn. It's going to be a deep dive little episode. I got some fun little stories to tell you.
Can't wait.
Hail me.